You know, as I talk to people and pray with people and try to help people through difficult times, some people feel like no one really cares about them. We have lots of children in our schools, from preschool all the way through high school, that feel like no one cares about them. Now, that's the honest truth. And we think about Jesus' life. We've been talking about his life since his birth and recognizing the fact that, yes, he was born and he lived for us. And it's kind of like that dash that you see, you know, on a grave stone at the graveyard. That, you know, what's important is what's in the middle. And that dash, how you lived your dash. And so Jesus was born, and of course he died. But everything that happened in the middle is certainly very important to us. It can change us. And so Jesus cared for everyone, didn't he? And so we read God's word, and we realize that. We know that God works in our lives. But how do we tell all the other people? No one cares for you or ever care for you like Jesus. We have those moments we just come into contact with people and we're out in public and see people that, man, they really need to know that Jesus cares for them. You know, we hear lots of times that, Lord, she needs Jesus or he needs Jesus. We hear that all the time. Well, we all need Jesus, right? When we say we're going to pray for someone, we ought to pray for it. Whether they have a specific need or not, we should always be praying. You know, and I continue to say to you, not just this new year, but every day, when you get up, God, put me where you want me to be today. And help me to do what you want me to do, because God will do that. And we talked about your calendar books. I brought some of mine from previous years. Remember, we use a pencil, not a pen, because God will put you where you want to be. You need to have a plan. You need to have an idea of that. And it's just interesting. As we're out and doing God's work, and as we're out, and think about it, when you're out every day, we're doing God's work. Whether you're at leisure or play or at work, I mean, as Christians, we're doing his work and trying to share God's love. And last week, I was at the middle school, and I've been there several times, and boy, I was really enlightened this week. It's just quite interesting. I had an encounter with some troubled kids the other day. Wow, those kids just really are lots of trouble. And I think it all roots back to they feel like no one cares about them. And just in the hallway the other day, I just say hi to everyone. And so this kid is usually in trouble. Everybody gives him a hard time. He comes into the class that I was in, and he goes, how come you do that all the time? I said, what do you know? What do you mean? He goes, you always say hi to me. I said, well, I know you now, and I see you a lot, so I just want to say hi to you. He just kind of walked away. And I hear all these other teachers talk about, boy, that kid, well, not for me. Maybe you should just say hi to him, right? You ever thought about that? Wow. Jesus cares for you. You know he does. But God wants you to tell everybody else that he cares for you. So as we are thinking about Jesus, it's like been studying that, looking at that, what happened exactly right after Jesus was born. You know, they took him to the temple and they dedicated him, as we call it. And Jesus was in the temple and realized right there that he didn't want to leave. He was listening. His parents thought he was missing. He was right where he was. Boy, it's tough sometimes. Boy, someone's bothered or hurt your kid. It's hard for you to care for them. Or if they hurt you, your family's hard to care for them. And we continue, again, just being out in public and being around people, you know, talking about the government and this and that, and their opinions about all this and that. People just need to know that Jesus cares about them. So Jesus came. You know, last week we've been, again, trying to track his life since he was born. You know, right from the very beginning, they wanted to kill him, right? Because he was going to be a threat to the government, be a threat to those who are in authority. But his dad, being the good father that Joseph was, listened to God. When God said, get up and go, he got up and went, didn't he? Well, again, as we begin this new year, we need to get up and go when God tells us to do what he asks us to do. So I think about Jesus' life, and from the very beginning, I believe that he was sent here to care for people. But you know what he also did? I mean, we know that he came and did ministry, didn't he? He healed people. He made them well. He fed people. He did all those things, as I continue to say, are very important in the life of the church as Christians. We're to meet needs of people. And then talk about Jesus and use words later if you need to, right? People need to know that they're cared for. That's why we have all these ministries, everything in here, everything we're doing in the help people know that we love them and care about them, that Jesus cares for them and loves them. We provide all these opportunities, but Jesus came to let people know that he cared for them, right? And all this that he was going to do is because God in heaven cared for them enough to send Jesus, that he would demonstrate that love and that care. Jesus also came to bring people together. Jesus came to bring people together in his name. He came to create unity in the name of Jesus. That's what he came to do. Now, boy, we think about already in this year, thinking about the discord that's happening all across the country and throughout the world. People aren't coming together. People aren't working together. We think about discord that's happening in our families. Now it's affecting our children. People making bad decisions and it's affecting their children. And so this morning, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're reminded that we're all one in the body of Christ. That, you know, Jesus cared for us. We're to care for each other. We're to care for others. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, again, just trying to equip you and help you in doing what God would have you do. And we think about our goals and plans, what we're going to do this year, what we're going to accomplish this year. Wow. If we can help people understand how much Jesus loves us, that's a great goal. Even if it's just one person, right? And it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, that I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Of course, here's Paul, and he went down. Paul was right where he was supposed to be, right? He was in prison, but he was still using it as an opportunity to encourage people. Okay, and right back to the church at Ephesus to keep them moving. Being completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Yeah, we all talk about these, you know, all these things we want to accomplish. You know, you keep seeing on social media, on Facebook, this keto challenge and, you know, what I look like now as opposed to 10 years ago. That's great. That is awesome. And we want to lose all this. We want to do all this. And we want to get fit and do all that, which you should. But here, I think these are some things we should really work to accomplish as Christians. If we want to be loving and kind and share that with others, we need to be gentle. Oh, sometimes it's hard to be gentle. It is hard to be gentle. And I continue, as I've shared this before, this is becoming routine at the middle school. So these kids, Mr. Newsom, you're loud. Well, I'm going to tell you. I mean, I want people to get one of them, right? And especially since you're out of your seat all the time. Apparently, you're not listening. So I'm going to say again, sit down, right? And we talk about how Jesus speaks to us in that quiet voice. Well, sometimes we need that. But we also need that loud voice. But we also need to understand that we need to be humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? But Jesus did it. He did it with all the people that were against him, right? He was humble and gentle. Those people weren't getting it and understanding and kept coming back in confusion. He was humble. He was gentle with them. He was patient and bearing with one another in love. Again, Paul's realizing this and understanding this, and he's trying to encourage us to do that. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Are we doing that? Make every effort, it says, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity. People working together and coming together. We continue to say that as the church, that we all need to be working together and coming together and doing God's work together, not this church and that church. I mean, I pray this every morning, every Sunday morning, that people be in church somewhere. Just go to church and learn about Jesus. And again, if you can't be in church, there are other opportunities. You can listen to this tomorrow, certainly. There's a program on right now, people that can't get out of their house. And we need to be reminded of this, again, this unity that people are coming together. People coming together. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We think about Jesus. Did what he did one time, right? He came, he lived, he died one time. That one God who did it for us, that we too might all come together. We looked last week at the things, and we're looking in Bible study in the Gospel of Mark, the things that Jesus did because he wanted us to do. You know, Jesus was baptized because we should be baptized, right? I'm in the Holy Spirit. So these things that Jesus did, Jesus was tempted. 40 days, right? Starving to death. Most of us put a hand to that, right? To prove that we are tempted too. Jesus didn't fall into that sin. He overcame that sin. So make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If we want peace on earth, we talked about this during Advent. Peace has to begin with you, has to start in the church. It has to begin with each of us. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope you were called. You know, we hear these jokes, and Don Miles had a bunch of them, about these in-heaven jokes about the Protestants, the Catholics, and the Methodists. Well, those are all funny. We laugh sometimes, right? And there are lots of those jokes. But up there, only really matters, right? We're all going to be one. God wants us to work on that down here, right? We're all going to be one up there. So why don't you guys get some practice down there, and everybody come together and work together for my glory. Come together. Get it together, right? No, we see that in all aspects of our life and our society today. Whether they're Christians or not or believe in God, people need to work together. People need to come together. Because we don't do that, and there's discord. It affects lots of people. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God. Verse 6, it says, one God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's it. We are one, right? We are one in the Spirit. Think of the song that does that. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in Him. So we're to come together. So again, I know that there are lots of families in our church, lots of people I've talked to that really had some a difficult beginning to 2019. Just different things happening with their spouses and their families and their own selves and lots of concern for our children and the youth and what's going to happen. And we think about it again, what's happening in the government, that people need to come together, right? And so here we're reminded that Jesus came. Yes, He came to die for our sins. He certainly did. He came for all of us. But He came to show us how much He cared for us and to bring unity among the people. Jesus' journey was, He wanted everyone to come together and believe in Him. They didn't do that. And in heaven, we're told we're going to all be one. So why don't we do that now? Just come together and believe Him. And one God and one Father over all. So again, as we get up every morning, we ask God to put us where we need to be, where He wants us to be, to help us to do whatever He wants us to do, that His will be done, that His plan will be fulfilled, and that we would make every effort, as it says here this morning, we would make every effort to live in peace, to be gentle, patient, and bearing one another in love. That's what Jesus did. Yeah, we are one. And again, it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and in all. That's what God wants us to do, to put Him first, right? That He's number one. He's number one. That He might be first. That we are all one in the body of Christ. Not just this church or the church next door, but we are all one. Lord, there's a lot going on in our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, there's a lot going on outside these four walls this morning. There's a lot going on all over the world and throughout our country. But God, in here, in this place, we know that You're in control. And all of us have come this morning because we realize how much we need You. That You are our God, and the only God. And Jesus was Your one Son who came and did everything that He did one time to remind us how much and show us how much He loved us and cared for us. Thank You, God, for loving us and caring for us that much. God, we know that Your Son Jesus came to bring everyone together. God, help us as a church, as we pray for our leaders and the ministries, that we would all be on the same page. That everything we do would be for Your glory. That people would come to Jesus. They would come to Your Son and surrender their lives, that we would all live together in one accord, just as you planned it to be. God, we love you this morning. God, help us to be gentle when it's tough. Help us to be loving when it almost seems impossible to some people. But that's exactly what your son Jesus did. So my prayer today for myself and my family, everybody here in this church family, even those that aren't here, that God, this week we'd be obedient. God, we would be reminded that we're all in this together. That we keep praying one for another. Keep praying for each other. And God, that our desire this week, yes, we've got an idea of where we need to be and what time we need to be there. And yes, we all have a calendar, whether it be in our phone or pencil and pen and a handy-duty calendar. We got a plan. But God, what would you want this week? That's what I want for all of us. What you want is what we want. That where you'd have us to be, that's where we'll be. And we'll do exactly what you want us to do. Knowing that you enable us, you empower us, and you equip us. God, we thank you for that this morning. If there's anyone here that's never made a decision to follow you, to live for you, that today would be the day that they would give their heart to Jesus, live for you forever. Because your word tells us we don't need to do that one time. But you died for us one time through your son Jesus. We're thankful for that this morning. Whatever decision needs to be made, whatever prayers we have on our hearts, burdens, God, we just continue already this year carrying all that stuff up the steps and dragging it back down and bringing it back every week. God, you want us to surrender everything and let you lead us. God, I pray you lead us this week. Most importantly, we know that you're going to lead us. The question is, will we follow? Help us to follow you this week. God, we love you. God, we thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. He's our shepherd. I'm trying my best to be your shepherd and leading us.